4 through 13. Lord willing, we're going to get through these. Paul writes in verse 4 of chapter 6, "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance and affliction, and hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also." Paul genuinely caring for this church at Corinth, very concerned about what's happening in their lives and their ministries. He's come to them. He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've come to saving faith, many of them professing faith in Christ. Yet, as things would have it, this apostle going on in his ministry activities and going to various places and ministering there, in his absence, there have been people that have arisen that really take issue with Paul. They don't appreciate him. They don't think that he really portrays the kind of grandeur and significance that a leader in a church should. He doesn't have that kind of gravitas, I guess you would say. But Paul is very heartsick over what he sees happening in Corinth. He's troubled by the distractions and how the concepts of worldliness and worldly evaluations have filtered into the church and how people see things and leaders. So he wants them to understand the gospel life is an incredible thing, and gospel ministry is closely associated with it. And when you walk this path of gospel life and gospel ministry, there are things that are characteristic of this. It reminds me of when we think about walking the way of gospel truth and gospel life, the teachings of Jesus that are recorded in Matthew chapter 7. When Jesus challenges his followers and he says to them in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate." Enter by the narrow gate. "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." As some have said, both of these gates are labeled eternal life. There's one that's narrow, there's one that's wide. The way that's wide, or the gate that's wide and the way is wide, is it's easy. Things go really well here. Things are not, you're not engaged in a lot of opposition. You can kind of coast. Comfort's the concept that's there. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Man, when you think about that, how's that make you feel? The road is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. I guess the question can be asked to each of our hearts is, We come before the Word of God and the truth of God and say, Lord, which path am I on? And you know one of the ways you know which path you're on? Is that you realize you're not on it alone. And you realize that there are people around you that need help in getting on this path. And when you're on the narrow path, you realize, man, there are people that need to be here. I see people on the wide path and it grieves my heart and I want to see them get on the narrow path. I see people that just are absolutely opposed to God and Christ and I want to see them join us on this narrow path. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it's difficult, but this is the way of blessing. This is the way of God's presence. This is the way of God's power and peace. It does us no good to get on the narrow path of hardness and mope and pout or curse it. Would you agree? Is it a surprise that living for Jesus would be challenging? I don't think it should be. But we like ease. We can agree with that, can't we? Humanly speaking, we like ease. We like comfort. We want things to go smooth and well. When hardship comes and difficulties surface, it's amazing how many are shocked. So as you contemplate this idea of examining, which path am I on? And if I'm on this narrow path, this hard way, am I concerned about the people around me? Am I trying to encourage them to press on and keep going? Or am I just bent on just making it on my own? I don't think that we can truly be engaged in gospel life without having a heart for gospel ministry. I think that's the point that Paul's trying to make. So coming to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see that purposeful perseverance commends true gospel ambassadors. Purposeful perseverance commends true gospel ambassadors. Paul says, as servants of Christ, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. We commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. And I think there's indications grammatically that the purpose of this and the structure of this statement of Paul's is we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance as being the capstone of this whole thing. So in other words, persevering grace is the mark of God's people. And perseverance in this gospel life and walking down this narrow, hard path is what characterizes those who follow Jesus and encourage others to do the same. What Paul is empowered to do is what all servants of God should pursue. If that's true, that means every one of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ should say, this should be my heart. This should be my heart. I shouldn't be reading this passage of Scripture and saying, wow, what an apostle. I should be reading this passage of Scripture and saying, is this me? Because see, Paul's on this path and he's encouraging other people to join him on it. And we should be doing the same. We should be on this path, hard, difficult path, and encouraging other people along this way. Servants of God are led to surrender to the service of God and others. That's what God's grace does in us. It gives us the desire to serve God and to see other people and to try to serve them. Servants are not called to a life of ease and pleasantness. There's an intentionality in the heart of a true servant of God. We look around, we see people who are struggling. We look for people who are struggling. We look for people who don't know God and we want to try to help them. We look for people who are distracted, who have fallen off the way, and we want to help them get back on the path. Let us remember that ambassadors are on the lookout for the unregenerate, the ungrateful, and unrepentant. Those are the people that God wants us to reach out to, okay? When you think about the unregenerate and the ungrateful and the unrepentant, I don't think you look at that and you go, well, those people will be very open and receptive. You realize there's a challenge to even reach out to them. You realize that outside of God's enabling grace and God's activity, who in the world is going to encourage them to join you on this narrow, hard path? We need God to do a work. We need Him to do the work in them that He's done in us to get us to where we would even desire to be here. Those outside of saving grace in Jesus are very hard and difficult people. Those in need of grace are in the grip of Satan and inspired to make life miserable for gospel ambassadors. That's part of what makes the path hard. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. The commendation is not what Paul says about himself and his associates as ambassadors of Christ, but what enabling grace accomplishes in them and through them. This endurance is what God blesses ambassadors of Christ with. The ability to press on. The ability to get on the path, stay on the path, and go hard on the path. If you look to your own, if you look to yourself, you look to your own resources, there's no way in the world. That's why many times people are discouraged, because they're looking to their own resource. How can I be true to God? How can I stay faithful? How can I do the things that God wants me to do? Well, you can't. If there's anything we should recognize at this point, it should be, I can't do this. But by God's grace, I can. And by God's grace, I will. And not only that, there are other people on this path that I'm going to join with and pursue this goal together. So what Paul's about ready to share is what he would say to them. It's clearing away the obstacles so that they can see what it is not to receive God's grace in vain. We talked about that a little bit last week. Now we're going to kind of unpack that in specifics. What does it mean not to receive God's grace in vain? What does that look like in your life, my life? What is Paul trying to accentuate here in his teaching? Great endurance. Great endurance is what God grants so that hardships and afflictions can be encountered with purposeful perseverance. Great endurance is what God grants so that hardship and affliction can be encountered with purposeful perseverance. How do we go through life persevering? And by that, I would say clearly in the consistent testimony of the Apostle Paul, and he'll even allude to it here, that you can't go through life with purposeful perseverance if there isn't some sense of delight and joy in your heart of walking with Jesus and encouraging others to do the same. Joy and delight in Christ really become kind of the clear testimony of those whose hearts are following Him. If you're going through difficulty and you're downcast and you're sullen and you're hurt or you're resentful and bitter, you're no different than the rest of the world. It's God's grace that would bring us above that garbage, isn't it? Going through hardships and persecution is not what commends the gospel servant. It's how we go through them. Some people say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. Miserable all the way, but suffering for Jesus. That's not what's to be characteristic of gospel people. That's not what's to characterize your life and my life. It is endurance with hopeful delight that commends a gospel servant. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, not only that, but we complain in our sufferings. Does that sound familiar? We complain, we gripe about our suffering. That's what Paul says, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we're miserable in our sufferings. Is anybody familiar with Romans 3 or chapter 5, verse 3? It's not what he says. What I just said is not what he says. What he says is, but not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that God's purposeful in what's going on here. He's designed these things intentionally for our benefit. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We're supposed to go through these things with patience and joy. This is how God empowers his gospel servants to endure purposefully and joyfully. Purposefully and joyfully. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean all smiles all the time, okay? But it surely does mean that there should be smiles on the way, and that we can find our hearts encouraged in Christ. Even in the midst of grief and affliction and mourning, we should be able to encourage our hearts and lift our focus to Jesus and encouraging other people to do the same. Some in Corinth and some today would say that encountering opposition and affliction shows that you're not walking in faith and you're not walking in obedience. Right? That's true. We even pray that way, don't we? Yes? You say, "Why?" No, I don't pray that way. When you ask for God to open doors and give you direction in life, what are you asking him to do? You're asking him to make the path that you want to go on smooth and easy, and that way you'll know it's his. That's how we think. But that's not what God says. He says the path is hard and the way is difficult. We should be saying, "God, confirm in my heart your grace to enable me and equip me to move forward in life for your honor and glory, no matter how trying or how difficult the circumstances may be." Paul says it's enduring opposition and affliction with joy that is going to put God's gospel grace on display. It's going through these things with joy that gives us the ability to reach behind us and grab the hand of a struggler and bring them along with us. Because sullen people are selfish people. It's joyful people in the midst of affliction that are reaching out to help and aid others. Right? Doesn't come from within us, does it? We can't sit here and say, "Well, how am I gonna pump that up?" Well, you can't. You're gonna have to receive it as a gift of God's grace. It's his power within you. If you need it, ask for it. See, it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Purposeful perseverance is needed because living a gospel life produces various forms of suffering. We're seeing that in the last part of verse 4 and verse 5. Purposeful perseverance is needed because living a gospel life produces various forms of suffering. In these verses, we see 9 forms of oppression that are, I think, can be grouped into 3 different categories. The first category is suffering in general. Suffering in general. Afflictions, hardships, calamities. Afflictions would mean differing types of distress encountered because one goes hard after God. You're going to encounter different types of stress because you go hard after God. That's affliction. Hardship. Unavoidable challenges because of the necessity of life. Because the necessities of life for a gospel ambassador are tough. It's hard. Hardship. You're going to have hardship following Jesus. calamities, natural troubles as a result of serving God in a fallen world. We're not going to be able to avoid illness, disease, natural disasters, material loss, or the like. Calamities are going to come. Stuff is going to happen, right? We got to be prepared for this. There's all kinds of just general natural suffering that takes place in life. Stop complaining. Are we surprised? We live in a fallen world. It's a painful place. It's not an easy thing to do. We're going to struggle. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be difficulty all our days. The next group, second group, suffering at the hands of people. He says, beatings, imprisonments, riots. Wow. How many of you have had to encounter that? You know, how many have been beaten because of Jesus? Imprisoned because of Jesus. Experience riots, social upheaval because you're committed to walk in the path of Jesus and encouraging other people to do the same. Beatings. This means the blow with fists or weapons. Somebody just beating the starch out of you because you're a follower of Jesus. We have brothers and sisters in this world that are encountering this. And they encounter it all the time. And they know this going in. And they're there. You say, what could cause somebody to do that? Jesus. Jesus. I mean, look at us. We're pretty weak stuff, aren't we? What is our natural reaction to this? To look around for others as we are experiencing beatings and imprisonments and struggles and difficulties like that? Would we be looking around, how can I encourage somebody else to keep on this hard path of Jesus, with Jesus? Or would we sit here and just become enraged? I can't believe this is happening to me. What right do you have to treat me like this? Right? What's flesh and what's spirit? What do you think? Imprisonments, being detained as a criminal in jail or in prison because you claim Jesus. Riots, violent group disorder because something is socially unpopular and it's rallied the masses against you. You hear these things? We see them at a distance, don't we? Now they're coming. Maybe even in our lifetime. Maybe in our lifetime. Definitely for our children and our children's children. How are we going to prepare them? The third group. Suffering because of dedicated service. This is the kind of suffering that comes because you're on the path, you're pursuing God, you're pursuing helping other people in Jesus, and this is what happens because you're a dedicated servant. You go through labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. Labors, strenuous exertion due to the difficulty of the task. And what is our task? Gospel ministry. It's hard. Who said that walking with Jesus was going to be easy? Labor, strenuous exertion, sweating for the cause of Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? Wow, our world has gotten soft, hasn't it? When I was a young man, speaking of the wonders of my youth or anything like that, but when I was younger, I worked construction. And when I worked construction, I mean, it was kind of a manly thing. It really was. I mean, this was not for the faint of heart. And it was like intimidating to walk into that arena initially as a high school kid. But man, there was this sense, I'm going to get this done. And if they can do it, I can do it. And I'm going to work hard. I cannot believe the testimony of our environment today. Nobody wants to work hard. Nobody wants to work hard. It's like, what? You want me to sweat? Well, if you want me to sweat, you're going to have to pay me $30 an hour. And you pay them $30 an hour, and they still won't sweat. It's just unbelievable. It's in the church. We don't want to sweat for Jesus. You want me to work hard, labor strenuously for Christ? I've got a life to live. I got things to do. I got places to go, people to see. The laborer on the pathway says, I'm willing to do this because Jesus has saved me, and I'm willing to encourage other people to join me because this is our hope in Christ. Sleepless nights, time spent doing ministry rather than sleeping. Maybe we're on our faces praying and asking God to do things in people's lives rather than sleeping. Maybe we're called to help somebody in need rather than sleeping. You say, well, that's what we pay staff for. That's why we call Patty. Patty can do that stuff. Hunger. Going without food because of being involved in important gospel activity or because funds aren't available because we've used them in gospel activity. We're far from this, aren't we? It's kind of convicting. It should be. I would caution us not to just be so, you know, comfortable with where we've come and how we've developed that we sit and justify our ease. Only God can make the product of a grace-filled life desirable and attainable. Because let's be honest, you read some of this stuff, you go, who would want to do this? Right? Who would want to do this? A true child of God, one who knows that Jesus has purchased their redemption and Jesus has called them to this hard, narrow path, and he knows that that's the way of life. She knows that's the way of life, and she wants, and he wants to encourage others to join us moving forward. Let's go. It's worth it. This isn't the end product. This is just what happens on the path. Purposeful perseverance puts the gospel life on display through various honorable qualities. Not only do we experience hardships and difficulties, but we're going to have some honorable qualities being displayed in and through our lives. And we're going to see honorable qualities displayed in and through the lives of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The first would be purity. Purity. It's amazing how many people hear the word purity and immediately go to legalistic things and legalistic thoughts of, I got to do this and do this and not do that and not do that. That's not what purity is. Purity indicates a lack of distraction or duplicity because of a sharpened awareness of our loyalty to Jesus. We're not contaminated by the distractions and influences of the world in our lives that keep us away from focused, sharpened attention on Jesus Christ. That's purity. A lack of distraction or duplicity. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those being purified are living all of life more and more connected to Jesus. When you're being purified, each and every day, you're more and more connected to Jesus. Enemies of purity are legalism and lawlessness, because both distract people from Jesus. Knowledge, a growing awareness of biblical insight. It's not simply head knowledge, but life knowledge. It's walking in the truth with Jesus and finding this to be relevant, to be real. This is real. This is what God's given us to walk in life. And so many of you don't read it. That's unbelievable. He's given us His Word. People have died for us to have this, and we don't spend time here. Sorry, I got a little worked up about that for just a second. What's the matter with us? We're doing so well, right? We're walking this hard path. We don't need God's Word. We'll just come to church and listen to the pastor yell. You have been given the very words of life. Just this. Walk with Jesus on this hard path in the light of this truth. His Word is a light to your path. It's a lamp for your feet. But you see, it's putting this into practice that's really the issue. It's not just spending time. You can't put this into practice if you don't know it. Okay? But it's not just knowing it. There's a lot of people I've met in my life that know a lot about the Bible but don't put it into practice. True wisdom, this knowledge that Paul's talking about here, is the application of biblical insight. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not just knowing, it's doing. Patience, enduring pain or disappointment. Both circumstances and people can bring about the need for patience. Can you agree with that? Circumstances and people demand that we become patient. Patience is on display with calm and measured reactions to negative circumstances and mean people. We are going to face negative circumstances in our world, are we not? And we're going to be encountering mean people, aren't we? And sometimes we're going to be mean people. We need to be patient. Kindness, warm-hearted meekness and sympathy. You're on this hard path, but you're not hardened. There's a warmth to you. There's power under control. There's concern for other people. So instead of repaying evil for evil, purposeful and joyful perseverance moves out with care and concern. Hard circumstances come and we become resentful. Mean people come into our lives and we despise them. But that's not what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to expect things to be rough. We're supposed to expect to depend upon Jesus to get us through this day. And we should be looking at people and saying, man, they need the grace of God. Because I can be mean when I'm not walking in the grace of God. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. That means you try to do good to people who do evil to you. That's a really tough one, isn't it? It's not just gritting your teeth and burying it. It's saying, you know what? I want to reach out to this person and love them. I want to help them. I want to care for them. I'm going to do good to them. Wow. Can't do that in the flesh now, can you? The Holy Spirit, in the middle of all these honorable qualities, Paul affirms the reservoir of these resources, it's the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness, self-control. Genuine love, sincerely felt and expressed affection and concern for others. Genuinely felt and expressed affection and concern for other people. There are some who pretend to have affection and concern for others. And then there are those who do. Gospel-focused servants find joy in their heartfelt concern for God and for others. They're moved. Truthful speech. It has the sense of dependable communication. Truthful speech. What I share, I know. I've seen my God has been faithful, and I can tell you he is true to his word. Trust him and see if what is he promises isn't real. Any truth having gospel substance is to be shared with other people. Keeping quiet or sharing truth in an unconstructive manner is counterproductive. Keeping it to ourselves, or then when somebody needs it, we just blast them. What you need is this. And you walk away, boy, I showed them. I told them. Really? Is that what this is about? How do you respond when people treat you like that? Well, thank you for the scolding. I needed that. The power of God. The sum total of gospel life and ministry is the power of God. There are no honorable qualities flowing from purposeful and joyful perseverance in gospel life and ministry without the power of God. No one responds to the truth outside of God. That means you and I, and that means the people we minister to. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Power to share with the hope that God will bring this home. With the weapons of righteousness for the right and for the left. Flowing from the power of God's gospel grace are the weapons of his righteousness that he gifts to us. Gospel servants are armed by God to fight forces of darkness and doubt. Followers of Jesus are equipped with both offensive and defensive weapons. You have, in their mind, it's Paul's writing, what would typically be in the left? Shield. And what would be the right? Sword. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. It's all that the enemy comes to bring against you. You have the shield of faith. Trust in God and believe in God that he is true and he is real. You can fight that all off with the shield of faith. Knowing promises and holding them firm and fast. And then he goes on, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Some, you know, gallant knights, you know, well, yeah, I like that idea, sword. Ooh, give me that cut. Right? Guess what it is? Which is the Word of God. That's what it is. This is your offense. This is what gives you the ability to go to life, shielded, and making important victories happen through God's word. What do we wield in our lives? Some of us have very strong opinions, but are they rooted in biblical truth? And are they shared with the Spirit's grace? This God's going to provide you and me with everything we need to walk down this narrow path. We need him, don't we? Narrow path's not easy. Agreed? Hard way. But there are people that need to get on this path with us. And if our minds are so wrapped up with the hardness of this difficult path and we're not looking around to help other people, we've missed the point. There are people who are dying and going to hell who need hope. And the hope is finding Jesus on this hard path of walking with him by his grace and for his glory. There are struggling brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen in the hardness of this, reaching down and helping them and challenging them. Come on, let's get back on the path. Let's do the right things. You will fall. You will need help, support. I hope and pray that as you look through these things and these qualities that you say, I see the evidence of that in my heart and life. I see some things that I need to grow in. But I know that God is real and I know that he's true. This is the path? Okay. I want to walk in it. God, help me. You can't do this on your own. I can't. You can't. None of us can. Paul couldn't have done this on his own. He's removing the obstacles so that they can see clearly what it is to live a life that does not receive God's grace in vain. Let's do this by the strength that he gives us. Let's walk with trust and belief that he is able who promised. Though I hoped by God's grace to finish this message, I will not. So you have to come back next week. Many of you are not surprised. You sat out there and said, there is no earthly way. And you're right. So, part two, next time. God help us, bless us, enrich us. Give us the grace we need to stand firm on this path that you've called us to walk. Not by self-determination, but by the strength that you supply. Help us, Almighty God. For the glory of your name in Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If I finish it in the second service, I'll just call you next week to listen online. Okay.